Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. All right, you know we're studying the third epistle of John. You know that John, the apostle, calls himself the elder and writes this epistle to a man named Gaius. You know that he prays for Gaius, that he might prosper in all things and be in health, just as his soul prospers. And then you know that John expresses the great joy that the life of Gaius brought to him because John heard reports that Gaius was a man committed to truth. Gaius is a man who was filled with truth internally, and a man who manifested that truth with a life of truth, with a walk on the narrow way, a walk of obedience, a walk of commitment to Christ and to the cause of Christ, a walk of being thoroughly involved and supportive of the work of the gospel. And when the report of that came back to the Apostle John, it filled his heart with great joy. He considered Gaius, obviously, to be one of his children, spiritual children, of course. Does that mean that John had evangelized Gaius, that Gaius had come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ under the ministry of the Apostle John? Perhaps. But as I've noticed that the way that word is generally used in the New Testament, that it doesn't require that. It simply seems to mean that someone who has God-given spiritual authority over others will consider all of them to be his children, particularly if there's a significant age differential there. So we know that John at this time is the aged apostle, the only still surviving apostle. All the others have died. John is getting quite old, but he's still active. And he has this apostolic oversight ministry that extends to many churches and many individuals, and he's very much involved in their lives, and he considers all of them to be his children in the sense that he has a fatherly spiritual responsibility for them. And Gaius brings him great delight, just like an obedient, respectful child brings delight to his parents. You who are parents know what I'm talking about. And just like a disrespectful and disobedient child brings great grief to his parents. Well, John was greatly encouraged by the behavior of Gaius, as well as others who also were walking in truth. It brought great joy to the Apostle John. Well, I pause to welcome you to this Wednesday, June 26 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and to remind you that we do depend upon the financial gifts of our radio listeners to continue teaching God's Word on this station. Well, John's heart was filled with joy. And the reason for the joy is because some brothers had come and reported on what they had observed in the life of Gaius and how faithful he was to the truth. Here's how John puts it: "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And so these brothers, traveling evangelists, who had gone out from Ephesus, had traveled, had preached, had visited churches, had come to the church where Gaius was a member and had been lodged by Gaius in his home, and they observed Gaius both in church and at home. And then they went back to Ephesus, and they reported to the church there what they had observed in the life of Gaius. They reported that he was persevering in the faith, he was persevering in truth, and all of this brought great joy to the Apostle John. But in addition, this gives us a passing glimpse of steady travel between the churches in the first century. We sometimes think that because these churches were somewhat far-flung, though again, it depends on which ones we're talking about. Some were in reasonably close proximity one to another. But primarily because they were in the first century when travel was slow and difficult compared to what we experience today, we might come to the conclusion that they were rather isolated. But the picture we get in the New Testament is just the opposite, that there was a steady stream of travel between the churches. There were people who were regularly visiting the churches, not only apostles, but others as well. We find reference to that here, and it helps us to understand what the Christian community looked like in that first century and how they stayed connected to one another in that first century. And we realize that there was a very strong connection, which was maintained, actively maintained by this constant stream of Christians who traveled from one church to another. But what we want to notice more than anything else is the power of truth. The report of the brethren was to the obvious effect of truth in the life of Gaius. The power of truth is the power to indwell. It is the power to control. It is a power to indwell. That's what he says. I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, that is implanted in you. That's exactly the way James puts it in his epistle. James chapter 1, verse 21 says this, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. That is a profound text. Receive with meekness, humility, the implanted word, implanted by who? The Holy Spirit, which does what? It's able to save your souls. Now, wait a minute. James is writing to Christians. What do you mean, able to save your souls? Don't you mean able to sanctify your lives? Yes, that's what I mean. And the words I use to describe that is to say that it's able to save your souls. And once again, we are reminded that the Bible doesn't view salvation as a strictly past tense event. I was saved on January the 15th, 1997, or whatever, and some people can date it like that to a particular calendar day. And we find some in the Bible that clearly could do something similar, like the Apostle Paul, who was saved on the Damascus Road, and I'm sure he could have remembered what date that was on the calendar, never forgot that date. But I think there's far too much emphasis upon being able to tell the very date, because even though regeneration occurs on a particular day, at a particular moment, when the Holy Spirit comes in and creates life within the soul of a man or a woman, the awareness of that person that they do have that life, that they are indeed a child of God, that they have been born again, sometimes, and I would say more frequently, takes a little time to develop. Very similar to that of a human child. We can date the birth, and we do. The mother remembers, clearly. The birth certificate records. The child can know with certainty that he or she was born on a particular date, but not because they remember that date. They don't say, I know I was born on January the 15th, 1997, because I remember it clearly. No, you don't, and nobody remembers their birth date. Most children don't become self-aware until they are, well, who knows, to actually get to the place where they, when they think of themselves as a living person and say, hey, I am a human being. I am a living person. I know that I was born because I am alive. That takes the passing of some time. I don't know if we could say when that occurs. It's obviously going to be different with all people. And with everybody, it's a gradual growing awareness. It's not just a something that happens, boom, there it is, out of from nowhere to fullness. No, it's a gradual growing awareness. And I think in the spiritual birth, it's much the same way. Which is why many people have difficulty assigning a date to their conversion. And that can be very troubling to those who have grown up in a church or a Christian context where there's great emphasis placed upon needing to know the date. And for some people, the need to be able to report a date becomes so strong that they manufacture one rather than acquiescing to the reality that they don't need to know the date. What they need to know is the reality. And that gets me back to what we're saying here. I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of what? Of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. There's the evidence of spiritual life. There's the evidence of the new birth. Truth implanted within you, which is now continuing to bear fruit. That truth applied by the Holy Spirit, the living Word of God, applied by the living Spirit of God who creates life, that saved you at some point in the past, but it is saving you presently. We usually call that progressive sanctification. And it will yet save you when it takes you safely home to heaven. And James talked about the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So, dear Christian brother or sister, don't be too concerned if you can't articulate a particular date with certainty. And don't be intimidated by that. That's not the main thing. Again, the brethren didn't come and report to John about Gaius. Praise God, Gaius walked an aisle on such and such a day. Gaius made a profession of faith on such and such a day. Gaius was saved at such particular time. But what did they report? They reported of the truth that is in you and that you walk in the truth. Now that's something worth reporting. That's something rejoicing to rejoice over. I must say that I'm quite skeptical when people report. I heard it again the other day. Someone said, I won't get too specific here, but reported that two people had just been saved the day before. I hope so. I'm not ready to accept that until I see evidence of the truth that is in them that is working out in their lives over a period of time. Then I will rejoice in evidence that they truly have been saved. I want them to be saved, and I'm very encouraged when someone reports that they have been saved, but I'm not so excited about someone reporting a mere profession of faith. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.